Everybody, welcome to the bridge. My name is Scott, and we are wrapping up today a series that we've been in for the last couple of weeks called Fearless. And in this series, we've been trying to basically answer the question, how can we live a fearless life in an anxious world? How can we live a fearless life in a world that seems to be anxious and scary at times? And it's true, when you look around at our world, there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of uncertainty. And so in the midst of that, God looks at us, especially those of us who are Christ followers, and he says, in the midst of all of that, I want you to live a life that's characterized as fearless. And so we've been talking about how do we do that, and each week we've been given a specific action word, and we feel like if we apply these words to our lives, that it really will help us live a life that's fearless. And so the first week, we talked about the word pray. And we talked about how there in our fears, there's a longing that's there in our heart. If we could ever push into our fear enough to unveil that longing and then hand that over to God, not only will he meet that need, but he'll also provide us with peace in the midst of that. And then last week, we talked about the word remember. And we said in times of uncertainty and fear, we need to remember God's past faithfulness, how faithful he's been in our past, because that begins to cast a shadow of hope over our future. And so instead of facing a future with uncertainty, instead of facing it with fear and hopelessness, we can face it with a level of confidence because he's been so faithful to us in the past. And so if you've not been a part of these and you want to catch up or go back and check those out, you can find those messages in their entirety one of two places. You can find the video version at our website. You can go to thebridge.me/fearless and you can see the video of the messages, or you can hear the audio version. Go to your favorite podcast app, download the Bridge icon we've got there, and you can hear that, those messages or any others that we've done in the past. You can listen to those on the go. I encourage you to do that if you've not heard those and listen to those. Today, as we move to the last message, here's a question I want you to think about. What is your natural tendency when you're faced with uncertainty and fear? What's your natural tendency? And I'm not talking about when you're faced with the fear of, you know, physical harm coming to you. I'm talking about when you're faced with this uncertainty of how things are going to go, how things are going to turn out, whatever the situation is that you're facing. When you're faced with that kind of uncertainty and a level of fear, anxiety, what is your natural tendency? Do you find yourself putting yourself more out there? You know, I'm a little uncertain, a little anxious, so I'm just going to put myself more out there and become more available and go harder and faster. Or do you find yourself kind of circling the wagons, backing in, drawing in a little bit and focusing more on self and the things that you've got in your life and your specific needs? What's your natural tendency? Here's the reason it's important for us to consider that question, because uncertainty and fear tend to drive us towards self-centeredness. When we face times of uncertainty and we have a level of fear and anxiety, those emotions, those feelings, the uncertainty about what we're facing tends to drive us to a place of self-centeredness, where we begin to have this almost unhealthy preoccupation with self, with what's going on in my life, with what I need, with taking care of, you know, everything becomes, you know, my job, my career, my savings, my 401k, my family, my relationships, my kids. It's me, me, me. And the problem with that is when we become so preoccupied with self that we miss out on what God might be up to around us in the middle of our uncertainty and fear. And not only do we miss out on what God might be up to and what God might want to do in our lives, But we also miss out on this exchange that we'll see today as we look at the passage that we'll look at today. We miss out on the exchange that God is willing to make with us during this time of uncertainty, because we're so preoccupied with what we need, what's going on in our life, and self-centeredness. In Matthew chapter 6, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching. He's talking to a huge crowd of people. And in this talk that he's giving, he says one of these things that really kind of comes across as a little insensitive. Because he looks at this whole crowd of people. I mean, we're talking hundreds, not thousands of people he's talking to. And he basically, knowing that he's not really met most of those people, he makes a statement. He looks at them and says, "Don't worry." Have you ever been told not to worry about something? Right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that feeling you get like you're halfway into whatever the story is that you're sharing, and the person just kind of interrupts and says, hey, don't worry. Now, what you want to say in those moments is, the only reason you're telling me not to worry is because you've not heard the whole story. So if you would zip it just a moment, let me finish the story. When I get to the end of it, you will be sitting there going, well, if I had to go through that, I would be worried too. You would understand. But no. You want to interrupt me and tell me not to worry. Do you ever feel that? People step in, hey, don't worry. Get a grip on your life. Quit focusing on those. Quit worrying. So Jesus standing in front of a whole crowd of people and just tells them, hey, don't worry. Now, how does he know what they're all going through? How can you make a statement like that to a group of people that you don't really know that well? And so what we discover is that he says to them, I think he says to us today, listen, I know you're facing times of uncertainty. I get that. And I know you're worried. You're worried about the things in your life. You're worried about, can I pay the bills? Can I pay the mortgage or the rent? How am I going to get my kids through school? How will I pay for college? How can I meet these needs? How can I take care of my family? How can I afford this? My son or daughter has come in. They're in trouble. How am I going to deal with that? I know you're worried. I know. But I'm telling you, don't worry. We're like, I'm so sure. You can't just cast a blanket statement across a group of people saying, don't worry. But what we find in this passage is that Jesus kind of breaks down our worry a little bit and helps us to see that, you know what? In the middle of all of that, there is an exchange that if we're willing to trust him enough, that there's a grace that is available in those moments. If we're willing to trust God and exchange, what Jesus says, if you will give me what you're worried about, I'll give you something better. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But there's a grace that's available in the middle of our uncertainty and worry, that if we trust enough and hand our worry over to God, that he will exchange it for something better. So Matthew chapter 6 is where this is. And Jesus is talking. He starts in verse 25. And here's what he says. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. So basically, the basic necessities of your life, what you eat, drink, those kind of things, don't worry about those. Or about your body, what you will wear. So that's like a secondary tier of essentials that you need in your life. So he's jumping out there and he's saying, listen, don't worry. Don't worry about things like what you will eat or drink. Now, most of us do not live in a survivalist state, okay? You don't wake up each morning going, okay, where will I get a meal today? And what things will I be able to drink? We don't typically live in that kind of worry, but we still worry about things that we consider to be essentials. You worry about whether or not you can pay the bills. You worry about your house note. You worry about your kids. You worry about those kinds of things, your relationship, your marriage. He says, don't worry about those things. Or the secondary tier of that, you know, things like, am I going to get asked to prom? Or homecoming? Are we ever going to be able to have children? Will I ever get that car that I want? Am I going to get a bonus this year? He says, listen, When it comes to your life, either the basic necessities, the things that you know, on that top tier or even the secondary tier, I don't want you worried about those things. Now, the word worry, it basically means this: to be consumed by, to pursue, or chase after. In other words, it's all you think about. You are totally consumed with this thing, whatever it is. And Jesus is saying, listen, I don't want you to be consumed by any of these things, whether it's the top tier of the basic needs of your life or even the secondary tier, things that you don't have to have but you really need. I don't want you consumed with those or pursuing or chasing after those kinds of things. And he goes on, he keeps teaching. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? He's basically saying, okay, if you look at all the things that you're worried about, you stack all those things up, is life not more than all that? I mean, essentially he's saying, is this really life? You know, you look at all the things you're worried about, all the bills, the business, your job, your company, you know, your fan, all these things. And he says, is this really life? Is this what life adds up to? And what we would say is, okay, it's not life. It's important, but it's not life though. And so Jesus would then say, well, then why would you spend so much of your time and energy consumed with things that you know are important, but they're not life? And we would say, because we're Americans, because it's all we know, because that was modeled for us. And Jesus would say, no, that's not why you worry and you're consumed with those things. The reason is because you don't know the right things to be consumed with or concerned with or worried about. And you're worried. You've backed yourself into a place where you're worried about things that you know in your heart are important, but they're not life. It's because you don't know the right things to be concerned with or worried about. He keeps going. He gives some illustrations from nature. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns or their 401k or their savings accounts or anything like that. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He says, you look at the birds. Your heavenly Father takes care of their needs. He feeds them. Now, you may be here and you kind of doubt that. You might be like, I don't know so much about their heavenly Father feeds them. I mean, big birds eat smaller birds eat worms, worms eat dirt. It's the circle of life. I mean, we've seen The Lion King, right? We know that's just the way it happens. That's the way things go. It's not God or something like that feeding them. And God would say, who do you think put that system in place? Who do you think's behind all of that? The way the animals are fed, the way they are taken care of, who do you think put that system in place that is obviously a system designed by a creator? Who do you think did that? He said, I'm the one that put that in place. So yes, you look and you think it's a circle of life, but someone put that circle of life in place. And here's the implication. God says, who do you think put the system in place that has taken care of you thus far? Who do you think is behind the economy? Congress, the Federal Reserve, God says, no. I have been behind all these things that you feel like, man, this is what the system that's in place that's helped you live and breathe and prosper. I'm behind all of that. And just the same way that I've taken care of the birds in the air, I've taken care of you. See, that should give us a level of confidence that if God's going to take care of the birds of the air, if God's going to make sure they're provided for, then certainly he's going to make sure we're provided for. In fact, he goes on, he says this, are you not much more valuable than they? In other words, if our Heavenly Father is going to take care of them, don't you feel like you're more important than the birds that God is faithfully taking care of? God loves you. He has a plan for you, has a purpose for your life. He's going to provide for you. But what we then say is, but I can't see how that's going to happen. I can't see it. God's going to take care of it. What does that mean? I can't see it. I don't know how that's going to play out. And here's what God says. God says, listen, I've given you the ability. The birds don't know how it's going to play out either. But see, I've given you the ability to be able to predict, to be able to plan, project for the future. But don't become dependent on that. Your ability to project and to plan, that's great. But listen, you've got to trust me. And just because you can't see how something is going to happen, it's no indication that I'm not in charge and I'm not controlling things. You need to trust me that I care about you, that I will provide for you. The same way I'm providing for the birds, I'm going to provide for you. He goes on, he gives another. Well, he says this, when we say I'm worried, typically because it changed. And that's where we come to. We look around and we go, the reason I'm so worried is because things changed. I used to could provide for this. I used to have one of these. I don't have one anymore. I used to could afford one of these. I can't afford that. Things changed. And it makes me concerned. It created this level of uncertainty and anxiety because I don't know. I don't know how things are going to play out. And God says, yeah, things changed. But I'm still in charge. I didn't change. And I'm still there, and I'm still providing for you. He goes on. He says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? So he says, listen, you're worried about it. I know you've lost, you feel like things change, and you're not in control of those things anymore. So that makes you nervous too. So you keep worrying. But who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? He's saying, in other words, I want you to go for a whole week, and I want you to worry about the things that you're going to worry about. Whatever that is, you just go ahead and worry about those things. At the end of the week, I want you to give a report of all the things you've added to your life because of the worry that week. And so you stand back and you go, you know what? I averaged about 93 minutes a day worrying. And at the end of the week, I didn't really add any more days, but I did add a huge ulcer. Well, that's nothing. I average like 3 hours a day worrying. And at the end of the week, I didn't add any time either, but I did add a spouse that will no longer speak to me. Well, that's nothing. I added 6 hours. I mean, we can go on and on, right? He's saying, you add up everything that what you worried about, and you let me know how you added to your life. Because Jesus is saying you're not going to add anything beneficial to your life by worrying. You can't add a single day by worrying. Now, you can add some negative things to your life. You can't add anything positive. He said, you're so consumed with this. You're worried. You're giving so much time and energy and emotion to these things. And it's adding nothing to your life. It keeps going. He says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor, it's coming, in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. He says, look at, you're worried about the clothes, all right? And now, the word he uses here for clothes is not a word that means to keep us from being naked, all right? He's not saying you're worried that if you don't have something to put on, you'll walk around naked. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying clothes, the word clothes there is a word that means image. It's not so much do I have something to wear, it's what do I have to wear. It's how do I wear what I have. It's how often do I wear what I have. How many times have I worn it this season? It's those kinds of things. He said, listen, you're worried about the clothes, about your image. And in our culture, that's a big thing, right? Image is a big thing in our culture. You know, our clothes, our hair, where we live, what we drive, all those things. You're worried about your image. But I want you to look around you. Look in the area of nature. Anybody know what this flower is? I think somebody's saying it. There you go. It's a bird of paradise. Is that not a beautiful flower? It's not native to here. It's a tropical flower. But this is just one flower, a bird of paradise, an incredibly beautiful flower. He says, listen, here's what I want you to do. You take your biggest credit card on your best day of shopping, and you go out and you get the best looking outfit you can possibly get. And I'm telling you, it will never compare to what our Heavenly Father can do. He has this unbelievable, outrageously creative. He's not conservative when he comes to fashion, which is probably something I regret saying at some point. But he is not conservative in that way. He is so creative. And he's so into fashion. He says, listen, you can do your best. You can go out and buy all this stuff, but you'll never compare to what our Heavenly Father can do. And you can just look around at nature. You can go out and buy all the outfits you can buy, and then just travel around to some of the gardens in the U.S. or around the world, and you get an idea of how God has dressed up nature. It's just one flower. You think God can't provide for you? Do you think God doesn't understand fashion, that God can't dress you up in a certain way? And so here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, listen, do your best, but don't worry. It's not that I'm not into fashion. It's not that God's not into fashion. He's saying, listen, it's okay to be into fashion. It's okay to do your best, but don't worry about it. Don't be so consumed with it that I got to do this, I got to do that because I have an image. He said, no. Look around. Even Solomon, and Solomon was the third king of Israel, said to be the wisest man to ever live. He's one of the wealthiest people that's ever lived. The nation of Israel was as wealthy as it's ever been, probably wealthier than it's ever been under Solomon's reign. He said, even Solomon couldn't dress up like I can dress up the flowers of the field. Do you think I won't take care of you? He goes on, he says this. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, so now he's just referring to it as the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, or where shall we live, or what shall we drive, or what clothes shall we wear? Instead, he said, for the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Now, the word pagan in the New Testament was a person who either did not believe in God at all, or believed in some false god. And so he's saying, listen, when you start worrying so much about these things that you need in your life, you're backing yourself into the same corner of a person who doesn't even believe that God exists. See, for that person, for the pagan who doesn't believe in God exists or believes in some false god, basically, life is all there is. I mean, from birth, it's bookended from birth and death. From birth to death, that's it. This is life. There's nothing beyond what this life is right now. So anything I can accumulate for myself in this life, that's what I want to do. And so all I'm left to do is worry about what I can get out of this life. And he says, listen, when you begin to focus so much of your time and energy on the things that you can get and what you need and all these things right now in your life, you become just like the person who says there's no God. Now, for those of us who are Christ followers, that's pretty challenging, if not convicting. Because I think that's true of Scott. In other words, I think if I were to, here's what he's saying. Scott, if you develop a list of all the things you worry about, and you compare that to a list of someone who doesn't even believe that God exists and the things they worry about, I'm not sure that the lists are going to be all that different. And God says, see, that's what I'm talking about. You're getting consumed with all the same things as a person who doesn't even believe that God exists. And I'm telling you, I'm here. I love you. I will provide for you. I will take care of you. What are you worried about? And then verse 33 kind of wraps it up, and he says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Instead of worrying about all the things that you tend to worry about, all the things you feel like you need, all the things that you need out of this life, instead of worrying about those things, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And so in this verse, we have our third and final action word. How do we live a life? How do we live a fearless life in an anxious world? We seek. We seek. Instead of worrying about all these things that we need, all these things that are, you know, uncertain in my life, and things have changed, and now I'm worried and I'm consumed. Instead of all that, seek. Seek God. Seek Jesus. Seek His righteousness. Seek His kingdom. Seek after Him. And then He says, if you do that, I'll make an exchange. You hand me all the things that you're worried about, and I'll add all these other things back to your life. I'll take those on and I'll add to your life. You hand those to me, and here's what He's saying. If you begin to worry about what I'm worried about instead of what you tend to worry about, and all the things you're worried about you hand to me, I'll bring it all back around and I'll add to your life all these things that you feel like you're, you know, I'm worried, I can't meet, I can't do, I don't know how it's going to happen. He said, you focus on my kingdom first and not your own. And let me add to your life the things that you truly need in your life. And there is a sense of peace, there is a sense of purpose and belonging that comes with that. So in those moments, and this is so counterintuitive, because in those moments when we have a tendency to want to become self-centered, here's what He's saying. Here's the question we need to ask. When faced with uncertainty, how can I further God's kingdom instead of mine? In those moments when, man, I'm so wrapped up and consumed with, I don't know how it's going to happen, I'm worried about this, and I don't know if I'll have this, and I can't pay this, and I'm not sure of this, and all the things that we get wrapped up and consumed with, in those moments, do something that's completely counterintuitive. In those moments, you go, instead of focusing on my kingdom, how can I further God's kingdom? Instead of worrying about and trying to figure out how can I get this for me and prop this up and make sure this is taken, instead of all that, God, instead of me worrying about what I need, what is it that you're concerned with? What is it that you're worried with? What is it that consumes your heart? Because I want to know about that instead of all the things that consume me right now. And God says, in those moments, if you'll consume yourself with the things that I'm worried about and let me take over the things that you're worried about, it's going to be the best deal for both. It's going to be the best deal for both. You'll learn to trust me more. You'll have a sense of peace and a sense of purpose in your life like you never experienced before because you're focused on the things that I created you for. And in the middle of all of that, I'll add back to your life all these things that you tend to worry about anyway. You say, so if I just start worried about what God wants, then He's going to give me cars and boats and houses and all that. I would tell you to worry about the things that God worries about. Seek His kingdom. Seek His righteousness. Seek how to further His kingdom and not yours. Now, the likelihood is your idea of what you need will begin to change a little bit over that time. And God promises to add all those things to your life. He didn't promise to add the things that you're worried about right now. But as you learn to trust Him more and you seek after His kingdom more, the things that you begin to focus your attention toward and the things that you feel like you need probably will change a little bit to become more of what God wants in your life. God says, I'll add those things to you. But you worry about furthering my kingdom and let me worry about the things that you need. And that's the best deal for both. And as counterintuitive as it sounds, as crazy as it sounds at times, there have been so many people who have said, I'll do that. I'll do that. I don't even know how it's going to work out. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to focus more on God and further in His kingdom than I am on. And the life change that's happened out of that has been unbelievable. I want you to hear from a guy named Andrew. And it's just exactly what happened. He took up a challenge to do something that was completely crazy. And instead of worrying about his own stuff, he began worrying about what furthered the kingdom of God. And I want you to hear what God did in his life. This is Andrew's story.
My name is Andrew Murray. I started Andrew's Print Shop actually by accident. I wanted to sell my artwork. I wanted more people to see it. And so I started on the side while I was teaching. And you know, it started to evolve and it started getting really busy. So I put in my resignation as an educator and became a full-time artist and now owner of a print shop because I print all of my own art. We started printing for other artists and it kind of progressed to the point where I needed more help. And so my wife and I talked about it and we made the decision that, all right, she's gonna stop her full-time teaching job and come work full-time in the business with me. Now I had a potential investment coming in. We got everything finalized and set. We were ready to go. We were gonna have a budget for marketing and expansion, growth. We're gonna be able to hire. And the investors pulled out. So we had to cover our mortgage, all of our bills, all of our expenses, and the business's expenses just from what we were doing off the print shop. And it became a very dark time for me. There were times where I would look up at the ceiling and I felt like there was nobody on the planet or in the universe that could understand where I was in it. I remember it being a time where I had barely $20 and all our bills are coming due. I mean, the mortgage is due, like the electricity bill is due. And my wife is expecting me to be able to do this. And I felt so alone, I felt so empty. At this time, I'm literally working 20 hours a day. 6 days a week, like just around the clock. Some days I wouldn't even go to sleep just to try to get as much done as I possibly could, taking on every single project that I can just so that we can pay our bills and buy groceries and things like that. So needless to say, I was very busy and very stretched and very stressed. We've been going to the bridge and we've been there for years and we decided to pick up and finally go to the partnership party. Now, one of the reasons why we're going to the partnership party is they were serving food, and I heard it was delicious. It was like, we could save a little bit of money. Also, it's like, you know, I wonder if they'll let us take some plates home. I mean, because it was really that dire. It was really tight, and but the bridge came through that night for sure. And so part of when we were at the partnership party, Scott and Kenny started talking about tithing. I knew and I was like, that's fine, but I was like, this is not for me. Like, this is, Kenny and Scott don't know where we are. They don't know what our bank account looks like. They don't feel those overdrafts and the pain when you have to ask your wife to, hey, let's cut back on what we're spending at the grocery store. I left the partnership party with a full belly. And I mean, I didn't even feel bad about not even thinking about giving tithes. I was like, God knows where I am and he's fine with the way it is. One of the services, there was a message and it was talking about the power of doing for others and giving and the scientific information that was given on how it can reduce your blood pressure, it helps for a longer life, a more fulfilled life, and all the studies that they've done. And I'm a rational thinking person. And so I was like, wow, that was really awesome. And I even remember telling Kenny after, I think maybe the next, maybe a couple of Sundays after that was when I said, you know what? I can start by just giving, because I could definitely use to lower my blood pressure, is what I was thinking. So it was actually kind of selfish in a sense, but I was thinking, worst case scenario, you know, I have a little bit lower blood pressure and we're a little bit later on a bill that we're already late on. So after a couple of weeks, you know, I didn't feel the stress that I thought I would feel from missing that money. Now, nothing really happened, but we ended up getting a client that basically will cover the rest of the year. And then we had one of our other artists that we print for, he released a painting and it just exploded. I mean, it changed his life, which helped us out, but it wasn't like so much like, oh, God gave us money, we put money in the kiosk. It was more of me being able to trust God. Like, I'm thinking like, okay, God, I'm gonna hold on to these pennies and these dollars because we need to, instead of listening to you and being faithful and doing what I know is already the right thing to do, I thought we would be in danger. And it's like God has been waiting all this time. And that's the feeling that I had. And so a lot of other really amazing things have happened with our business to help us get from out of the hole we were in. But the thing that really happened was that I got to this point where it's like I got to basically graduation from my level of faith. To have the faith to say, God, I don't have it, I don't know, I can't do it, I'm gonna just do what you ask. And then he shows up in a way that I couldn't even explain. The peace that I get to experience now, like even when, and it makes me almost tear up to think like those moments when it was cold, it was dark, I felt alone, I felt like nobody cared. And now at this point, I can feel like God just being there the whole time, like I'm right here. The money can come and go, that won't matter. But that feeling of peace, knowing that no matter what our accounts look like, no matter how the business, if it's going, if it fails or whatever, to know that there's a God that cares about me enough to show up to where I can't deny that God just showed up in my life and in our lives to say, you're not alone. And it's unexplainable.
Isn't that incredible? So the moral of that story is there's free food at the partnership party. So, you know, I just love that here's a guy that says, God, I don't know what seeking after you and your kingdom looks like. And then hearing in his particular area of life, you need to do something like tithing, and how just crazy that sounded to him. But how God was willing to make that exchange of all the things you're worried about. If you'll worry about the things that I'm concerned about, and let me worry about the things you're worried about, there is a grace that is available to you in those moments and a peace that comes. I think the greatest thing of Andrew's story is not so much all the ways that God had blessed him, but the fact that God gave him peace. That whether those things happened or not, there was a sense of peace of saying, I know that I'm doing what God has asked me to do. I don't know what it looks like for you. I don't know what it looks like to for you in your life to say, God, I want to be at a place where I'm not worried as much about my kingdom as I am about yours. And I want to make that exchange where I want to focus on the things that concern you the most and let you focus on what concerns me the most. I don't know what that looks like for you, to seek after his kingdom. I know this. I know that one of the things that God is passionate about is pursuing the hearts of people, especially people that feel far from God. Pursuing after them so much that he was willing to allow his son to die for every person. And so if we talk about God, what is it that concerns your heart? What is it you are consumed with? God's consumed with seeing more and more people coming to his kingdom. And so it might be that you become more consumed with people that you haven't been consumed with before, and how to bring them to a place like the Bridge to hear about a relationship with God, or just introducing them yourself to a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But I know that he's passionate about those things. Here's the greatest tragedy, I think, for those of us who are Christ followers. The greatest tragedy is that as we are so worried about our lives, that we become consumed with the things that are going on and the uncertainty and the fear and the anxiety, that we miss out on all that God is doing around us. That we miss out on what God wants to do through us, in our lives, through our lives, because we're so consumed with worry about the things that we think we need. See, I think that's the greatest tragedy. And Jesus is like, listen, if you will start worrying about the things that are on my heart and let me worry about what's on your heart, if you'll make that exchange, you will experience a grace and a peace and a sense of purpose like you've never experienced before. We've asked Andrew to design our next do-good shirt. And that's what I have on today. He designed this. He sketched it. Yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome. He's done this. And these are going to be available for all of you next week. So you want to make sure you come back and so you can get one of the Do Good shirts. And if you're not familiar with what Do Good is our ministry where we go locally and globally to just do good for people. We work with partnerships and organizations and people just to go into different places and just to try to do some good because of all the good that God has done for us. And by doing that, we hope to be able to introduce them to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's our Do Good ministry, and many of you have gotten Do Good shirts before, and these new Do Good shirts will be available to you next week, so you want to make sure you're back for that. But God has blessed Andrew's life. I think God wants to bless yours. I think God wants to all of us to live, especially as Christ followers, to live a fearless kind of life. And I think the more we incorporate prayer, the more we remember God's faithfulness, and the more we seek after his kingdom, I think we will have the best chance possible to live a fearless life in this world. And that's my hope and prayer for all of us. Let me pray for us, okay? God, thank you so much for the fact that you care about all of us. The fact that there's not a person in this building that you are not consumed with, that you're not pursuing after, that that you don't love. It doesn't matter who they are or what they've done or where they've been. God, every person, your heart is so passionate for each person in this room and outside of this room, and your grace that's available to all of us. So God, I just pray that every one of us, we would seek after you. God, in those times that you would provide us with a sense of grace and peace like we've never experienced before. And Father, in this world that just seems like it's there's more uncertainty and anxiety and fear every single day, you would help us to be able to live fearless lives. And as we do that, we would make a difference in this world. And we would see more people come into your kingdom. We love you. And we're so thankful that you love us and that you're willing to make these exchanges with us. You're an awesome God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.